Time for that pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed. Pack Rat Planet Radio. And here's your host, Stephen Pitalo.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Once again, this is Stephen Pitalo, and you are listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio. So I have emerged from my deep pile of videos I taped on SLP mode off the TV and several hundred volumes of my most awesome mix cassettes. As host of Pack Rat Planet Radio, which is the throwback culture pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed, we examine and explore music, film, and TV from the late 20th century, and we're going to catch up with some of those artists today. So we've got games, we've got all kinds of fun stuff, and today we are lucky enough to be joined by Setley Smith of Setley and the Disappointments. How's it going there, Set?
Good.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm great. Setley, a musician originally from New Orleans, and formerly of the renowned New Orleans band Multiple Places, and you also may know him from Zoom and his current band, Setley and the Disappointments. We're going to talk to Setley about all kinds of things. Interestingly enough, the Multiple Places album, Duncan, is 26 years old now.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And this is his first visit to the Pack Rat Planet, so hope it's all going to go well. Actually, Setley, let's just start off with you. How did you come to start playing? I mean, were you a musical?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family that had are we all right? Good. Okay. Yeah. I grew up in a family of radio business, and so music was always around. And of course, you know, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan's show and said, "Oh, that's cool. I like that. I'll maybe try to do something like that."
Okay.
So I started playing. You know, I started in a cover band called Amber.
Amber
Ways of Grain. And we were just, we did, Beatles, Stones, Who, lots of Who, Cars, Tom Petty, Stones, really good rock and roll back in the day, of the early 80s. And we used to play a lot of frat parties and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was great. And did that about 2.5 years. But then I wanted to start writing my own material, or getting involved with a band that did more of their own stuff, and they kind of wanted to stick with that formula. So I went ahead and we started Multiple Places after that.
Now, how did you meet the other guys in Multiple Places?
Well, the bass player Mark Brudusky, I went to school with. We both went to John F. Kennedy High School together, so we knew each other through school, and also I think my sister was her best friend. They were twin. He was a twin, a girl and a guy twin. Paternal twin. So we met, and then we just known each other for years. And he met Duncan, I think, first through this guy Caleb. What was weird is that when I was in Amber, towards the end of Amber, we had some changes of personalities. The guitar player, we added a guitar player, the drummer who was the singer of Amber at the time, wanted to be frontman a la Phil Collins.
Oh, no.
And so I brought in Mark as a bass player because our bass player quit.
Okay.
We had an audition for a drummer.
Okay.
And Amber. And by this time, we had Caleb in the band. And Caleb ended up going on to be in another band. I can't remember the name, but they had a hit record. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Caleb?
Yeah.
Caleb
Gilliatt.
Caleb Gilliatt. Oh,
yeah,
I
yeah.
thought it was Caleb Southern.
No,
Caleb
Gilliatt.
Okay.
So he was in the band.
Okay.
He knew Duncan. Duncan came and auditioned as a drummer for Amber. And I think he was 15 at the time. Oh, I mean, cool. I was like 22 or 21. But he was like 15 or 16 or something. And he came and played drums, and he was this really hyper little kid, just wanting to really do well, and like, you can see it in his eyes, like he just, oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. But he got behind the drums, and he wasn't that he wasn't good, it's just that he just wasn't ready.
Oh boy!
I thought.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it didn't work out for us, so okay. we didn't choose him, and I guess about three or four months later, you know, we were already talking. Me and Mark, since Mark was in Amber, we were both talking that we wanted to go do our own thing, and Caleb was involved, I think, at the time too. So Caleb said, "Well, you know, Duncan can sing. He was this theater child actor guy who could, you know, he's got a great voice," and so we decided to try that out and see what happened. Of course, we did, and it was, you know, worked.
Wow. Yeah, it did.
And Rodney came out late. Rodney, the drummer, came later. We had this one guy who played drums with us for a while, but matter of fact, he only just rehearsed with us for a while. I can't even remember his name, unfortunately. So we needed another drummer, or actually Mark wanted this guy, Rodney, to be in the band. He had met him, saw him play, I think at his house, and said, "This guy needs to be in the band." And so we said, "Okay, let's see what he does." And of course, it was just the way that Rodney played compared to the other guy was just, you know, apples and oranges. He couldn't. It was just the phenomenal, you know. So we knew that this guy had something that we needed to bring into the music. And by this time, Caleb had dropped out. He went back to playing with Amber.
Oh, okay.
So it ended up me and Mark Duncan and Rodney.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to a little of Multiple Places. There are songs that are actually available. There's an EP called The First Four that's available on iTunes and other downloads. And this is called Circling Around.
Commercial.
very nice. That was multiple places with Circling Round. We've got Setley Smith here in the studio today. You're listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. Leah McEnany, who's usually in this slot, will be back next week. So as we continue, you know that now it's time for the Road Dog Rock and Roll Tour Report.
Rock Dog!
So Alice in Chains is on tour now. You can catch them tomorrow night at the Pageant in St. Louis, Missouri. They're on tour for quite a while, ending at the Midtown Music Festival in Atlanta September 19th. With William Duvall on lead vocals since 2006, replacing the late Lane Staley. Heavy Montreal 2015 is a festival August 7th through 9th and features many great acts. Among the legacy bands included on that one will be NOFX, Rocket from the Crypt, Testament, Warrant, Dokken, Lita Ford, Faith No More, and Iggy Pop. And also don't miss Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg with Andrew WK on vocals. Additionally, Music Fest, with a K in there, is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's a full week, the 7th through the 16th. Actually, that's 9 days. Three Doors Down, Collective Soul, Alice in Chains, Culture Club, Darius Rucker, Snoop Dogg, The Flaming Lips, and ZZ Top. Now, the other big one going on is Riot Fest, which is several different cities, but the Denver, Colorado lineup is the one I found to be the most interesting. There's nearly probably 50 to 60 bands on this whole thing, but the highlights will be Friday, August 28th, System of a Down, Iggy Pop, Ice Cube, and special guests performing Straight Outta Compton, Motorhead, Cypress Hill, Anthrax, etc. Saturday, you got the Pixies, Run DMC, and Rancid performing and Out Come the Wolves, and the Damned, and the Dead Milkmen. Sunday, August the 30th, you can catch Prodigy, Snoop Dogg performing Doggy Style, Tenacious D, and L7. Always loved L7. Sadly, actually, we were talking a little bit earlier. Multiple places at a certain point came to an end with the loss of Duncan McCord, who sadly passed. When we were talking a lot about Alice in Chains, sometimes it's hard to continue a band when you have an idea or a sound, whether to continue or to start something new. What was it? What were the challenges of continuing to have multiple places after Duncan was gone?
Well, I mean, just like any, I'm sure like anybody who's in a band, you know, we first of all, you know, we weren't aware. We were just too damn young to realize how sick he got. I mean, just for the listener's sake, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and of course, he took his own life. But you know, at the time, we just thought that he was having basic growing pains, I guess. And not only that, I mean, even when we first met him, he was always slightly unusual, but he didn't seem to be as bad. He got worse as he went along. But when we first met him, we could tell that he wasn't quite all there. But we knew that we didn't think it was something that was. We just thought he was unique. When things changed. I mean, the band at the time was already going through changes because he quit because of his illness. I mean, he had to go into the institution for a while. And then, so we were already challenged by that, and we didn't know what to do. I started singing lead vocals for a while, and we became a three-piece band. We had a friend of Mark's play keyboards for a while, and then we decided to try some other singers, some of it worked out, some of it didn't. The bottom line is that we, you know, I think we were just were in denial that it was going to grow at all, because to tell you the truth, even before Duncan's full-blown illness became a factor of the demise, we were already in trouble. You know, we had some good success regionally, and we had that IRS's Cutting Edge thing, which was a TV show on MTV back in the day that came on, I think, Sunday nights.
Right.
And they did a really good piece on us, right? And so we had a lot of interest as far as labels at the time. We only had four track recordings that we were just hanging out to friends, so we didn't have any records out. So we knew that there was going to be a time where we're just going to have to decide whether or not we can continue or not. And after trying various other vehicles, we never could lock down anything that seemed to work, had any future to it.
Sure.
So I left. I'm the one that left after that. And I think the other guys decided they were trying. And Rodney left too. Rodney quit way before I did. Multiple places ended up being like a whole different band. It was just me and Mark and I think whoever we can get in the thing. Rick Sinai, who's a really good, great singer, songwriter from New Orleans, he was involved.
Okay.
But the challenge was what you do. And of course, like some people can, you know, we didn't think about auditioning other guys. Maybe we should have. You know, we just didn't think about it. We took whoever we had around, we knew, tried it, see if it worked out, and it didn't. And by that time, I had an offer to go play in this band in New York called Raw Youth in 1990, which is why I ended up here in the first place in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
They were signed to Giant Records. They had one record out, or their record was coming out. Lost a guitar player. I met the bass player through a girlfriend, his girlfriend, who was a friend of ours from Multiple Places Day from New Orleans, who lived in New York at the time. So I just took off and went and played with them for like a year.
Okay.
You know.
Well, how did Zoom come about?
Well, I moved back to New Orleans. Okay. I was here from 1990 to 95. Started getting to production engineering work after the Raw Youth thing fell apart, which is the New York band. So I started making records, and I mean, I ended up working with the Beastie Boys on the Ill Communication record, which was, you know, a big one for me.
Sure.
And then New York got the best of me, and I missed home. So I decided to move back to New Orleans, and I did. And so I met Kyle, who was now with Dash Riprock, and was with Dash Riprock at the time.
Kyle Malanson,
yeah. And we had similar interests of music. I mean, we both grew up on Who, Beatles, Stones, XTC, The Jam, all the post-punk rock bands, including old prog rock bands like Genesis and Gentle Giant and Yes and all that. So we already bonded musically. And Zoom, when I decided to do it, was supposed to be just a music project. We did one CD, and that was it. But we wanted it to be, you know, what our heroes were music was like. So we wanted to sound like a Beatle record or a Who record. A little bit of indie in there, a little bit of XTC, a little bit of early Genesis, you know, something like that. It was just a five song, and we did it. And we had no intentions to go play live, but then all of a sudden we decided we were going to be a kind of a Who band back in like late 70s. You know, really loud, really, you know, out of tune.
Yeah.
And loose and go.
Now, what can you tell me about Lazy Sunday?
This Lazy Sunday, the last thing we put out, we haven't played together in about almost 10 years. And Lazy Sunday is a Small Faces song that we did for a tribute record in 2000 for a Germany label that never came out. And we always thought it was a cool version that we did. And so we just released it recently about, I guess 6-7 months ago. We did it on vinyl, small limited run on vinyl, and of course you can get it on iTunes and everything else. But it's a quirky number. It's a good rocker.
Sweet.
It's a good laugh.
Sweet. All right. Well, let's listen to Settley in Zoom. This is Lazy Sunday.
Now wouldn't it be nice to get on with my neighbors? But they made it very clear, they got no room for ravers. Birds not by God. I'm singing a song with no words and no tune. I'm singing it cursing as you sense out the room.
oceans. You know, so relaxing.
Very, very, very.
Close your mind. Close your eyes. Relax and float down the stream, man.
Very nice. That was Zoom with their cover of The Small Faces' Lazy Sunday. I have Setley Smith in the studio with me today.
How are you?
Packrat Planet Radio. Now it's time for us to play a little game we like to play called Rule of Threes.
Rule of threes, rule of threes, rule of threes.
See, Setley, this is the time where we play a little game, and it's a bit of a pop culture throwback game in that I give you a word.
Okay.
You have to guess which of the three different pop culture artifacts or iterations that I am speaking of from the clues that follow. It's a little easier once I kind of get rolling on this and let you know. But rule of threes, the word today is parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you a hint, and you have to tell me which parliament we're talking about. Are we talking about the governing body in Great Britain, the groundbreaking funk group led by George Clinton, or the cancer-causing cigarette in the blue and white box?
Okay.
Okay. The first hint, laughing gas and legal highs.
Love it. Laughing gas and legal highs.
Are we talking about the governing body in Great Britain, the George Clinton group, or the carcinogenic cigarette?
Oh, I think it's called by the cigarettes, isn't it?
That's incorrect. Laughing gas and legal highs is actually in the news today because dozens of giggling demonstrators inhaled laughing gas outside the British Parliament to protest government plans to outlaw it and other legal highs.
Well, I didn't read the news today, good boy. Sorry.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's one down. Next clue. Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead.
I don't know. George Clinton.
That is correct, sir!
Why?
Well, because as chronicled in George Clinton's recent autobiography, the band was on tour and took a detour in Ohio, drove into a town where they encountered zombies walking freely and were scared to death. But it turns out that they had stumbled upon a filming segment of George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, did not know that.
Yes, yes.
Did not know that, sir.
George Clinton's autobiography just having come out very recently. The last and final.
I didn't read that one either.
It's got a lot of very interesting things about if you ever see this photograph, this White House photograph of George Clinton and Chelsea Clinton together. He has his hand is in a fist because he's hiding his crack pipe.
Oh.
Which, you know, not a good idea to have
in the White House.
No,
probably not.
Last question. Last hint.
Okay. Cigarettes.
Yes. The hint was Charlie Sheen. And the actor actually appeared in ads for Parliament cigarettes in the 1990s.
I used to smoke Parliaments.
Ooh.
I did.
In the blue and white box.
I did. It was my last brand before I quit. A long time ago. Quit what? It was a 12 years ago. I'm proud of that.
Was it Kings or?
No, just regular, bro. I ain't got no Kings.
Well, nothing wrong with the Kings.
Too much for me. All right, although I probably should have. You know, I smoked them. I only smoked them when I was drinking. Well, I didn't smoke during the day. I was one of those kind of guys. I only smoked when I was drinking.
Oh, okay.
But when I smoked when I was drinking, I smoked like three packs in an hour.
Oh, God.
So it wasn't good.
Parliaments were famous for their recessed filters.
Filters, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, on our next segment, not everybody knows everything there is to know about music videos. In each episode, we go behind the scenes on our particular classic music video in a segment we call The Video Rewind. Martha Davis and the Motels that actually charted with several MTV hits, including Suddenly Last Summer, Take the L, and Only the Lonely. But when it came time to shoot a music video for their song Shock, Martha had some ideas about who to work with. But in an interesting twist, something else happened along the way, and I actually was able to speak to Martha about this recently at City Winery here in New York.
There was a movie when basically it was the, it had to have been the Shock album. I don't remember anything very well, but because I wanted it to be kind of scary. And there, I saw this weird movie on television called The Keep. And it was a very sort of a sci, well, it wasn't sci-fi, it was a strange Nazi, weird, I don't even remember much about the movie, except the shots in it were amazing. And I was looking at these tremendous, beautiful, long shots and the creepiness of it, and I was like, I called my agent and I said, I looked at the end of the film and it was Michael Mann. I think it was Michael Mann. And I called up and I said, there's this guy, he does these things and it's really amazing and I would love him to do some videos. And he goes, well, he's kind of busy with a thing called Miami Vice, and I don't think he'll be available, but there's this young guy that I think if you like him, you might like this guy. His name's David Fincher. And me and David met and adore that guy. I mean, obviously, I'm not the only one. he's, you know, you talk to these certain directors, and I love so much being involved in that process and coming up with concepts and ideas, but you get with those guys. And where you have sort of a picture in your head of what's going on, these guys have the shots, you know. They see them, they feel, I mean, there's an excitement, there's this artistry that's involved that is so, with Russell, with David, it's so amazing, you know. It's just exciting to be in their presence because all of a sudden you're seeing these, the way they describe it. And I think that's part of being a great director. You can actually describe what you're seeing, because I get a lot of stuff up here, but I'm like, it doesn't really come out like that, so don't hire me for your director.
Shock looks like a David Fincher film.
We were just talking about Shock today.
Yeah.
And actually, I think Marty was saying that he thought it was, David was mad because he couldn't get enough money for the shoot, because it looked, to him, it looked so funny. It is a strange-looking video, and it's a creepy, and he's like, and you looked awful. I mean, you had blood smeared. I said, that was my idea. That was my stunt, Marth. You know, I got to fall over. I got to smash against walls. I mean, that's the closest I've come to being a stunt person in my life. But the beauty of that one was it was the very first Steadicam. David was like, they have a thing called a Steadicam. We've got to use it. David had two things he loved. One of them is helicopters. He always wanted to have a helicopter and always shoot from a helicopter. And then when the Steadicam came along, it was like, boom, we're doing that. And they were not cheap back then, I don't think. So Capital and Heath sort of budget fought like you do. And we shot it. And it is kind of a strange video. Some very bad blue screen. It was blue screen in those days. Very bad blue screen on that, which I think we can all laugh about now. It's not even blue screen anymore, is it? It's green screen. When did that change? I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker. But it was a very athletic shoot. There was a lot of running and me being chased by God knows what. So that's that video.
Thank you, Martha. You can catch Martha Davis on the Motels on the Road currently. Now, you know, not everybody relies on Wikipedia to fill their knowledge gaps. Sometimes you just have to know the answer, and we usually do. It's time for our really hard trivia questions.
Really hard trivia questions. They're hard.
That's right, they're hard. Now, this go-round, you can send us your answer on Twitter with hashtag PackRatPlanet. That's hashtag PackRatPlanet. And this go-round, if you are the first to tweet the answer to me, I will personally mail you the second and third seasons of Walker, Texas Ranger on DVD. Yes, I know, hard to believe. I don't have the first one, just the second and the third, and a handful of Tootsie Rolls. Those will be a part of the package as well. The question is, what musician appears in both videos for Steve Winwood's Higher Love and Duran Duran's Notorious? What musician appears in both videos for Steve Winwood's Higher Love and Duran Duran's Notorious. Hint, he is one of the producers on Duran Duran's upcoming album, Paper Gods, which is out very soon. Anyway, yes, you might have to run to YouTube and take a look at both of those in the next 6 or 7 minutes. But anyway, back to talking with Setley Smith.
Hey.
Of Setley and the Disappointments. Setley, what was your experience when Multiple Places was on IRS's The Cutting Edge?
It was a fun day. I remember we played at Tipitina's. They filmed us at Tipitina's. It was us, Dash Rip Rock, Radiators, Mamu, and a band, and Reality Patio.
Wasn't that Carrie Bonacase's band?
Reality Patio, yeah, right.
Yeah.
He was in Better Than Ezra for a while, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, so, it was during the afternoon they filmed us. They saw us play, I guess, about a month prior to that at a club. And, liked what we did and decided to put us on the show.
Any interaction with Peter Zaremba?
Well, the only interaction I had with Peter Zaremba was the fact that, you know, Multiple Places at the time were kind of theatrical in what we did. We used to paint Duncan have the audience have paint and paint him. We had a shoe night where we were throwing shoes off the stage. We had a glitter biscuit night where we had Popeye's glitter biscuits dipped in glue with glitter, and we used to throw that off the stage. Not only that, we had, like, you know, inflatable balls and rockets and so anyway, that night at IRS Cutting Edge, we had Duncan had a big heart, made a flammable heart to throw in the audience, and he had a rocket that we made that he destroyed with a pair of hands that looked like a mongoloid's hand, you know, just very radioactively chewed. And so at the end of it, I was going to light my guitar on fire, which I did. And it didn't end up on film because it was a one camera shoot, so we only had one camera guy. So we actually had to do our songs twice, so they could give two perspectives. And I remember that I lit the guitar on fire and I threw it on the ground, and Peter Zaremba came walking out to say, "Multiple Places, look, Multiple Places." And I noticed the guitar is like on fire, and the fire is slowly crawling up his leg. And I had to knock the guitar out of his way before he burned Peter Zaremba. I don't know if he remembers that or not.
Well,
but we did have a friend of ours who had a camera that took a shot. And from above, Tipitina's had a balcony, like sort of like if you're in New York, it's kind of like Terminal 5, but not as big. So we had a camera up there, and we have the video, and you can watch the guitar burn next to Peter Zaremba's leg.
Yeah,
but that's the only time I've ever really spoken to him. I mean, I was on the road with Dash Rip Rock, and I've met him once, but I don't think he remembers me. Because I did play bass with Dash Rip Rock for about a year.
Ooh.
In 2000.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been quite an experience.
It was fun. It was a good time. I wasn't quite a bass player, but I had I wanted to do it. And Kyle, like I said, who was in Zoom, was the drummer. So they needed someone to go on the road for a tour, so I said sure, and it was good.
Bill Davis is one of the most underrated guitar players.
He can play.
Yeah.
He can rock.
Yeah,
he's been around for a long time too. He's still doing it.
Yeah. Let's do another Multiple Places
sure.
song. This is Anything and Everything.
But I know everything that you do.
place, multiple Thank places you. There. Thank you, Setley. That's
You're
a
welcome.
Good one. I
always like that one.
Yeah, Setley and I were just talking about the fact that his band, The Disappointments, when they play in New Orleans, they pull out a number of multiple places songs and stuff from all across the career.
It's easy for me because I have a solo record out I did in 2007. So I play a lot of that. I play a few songs from the places, multiple places days, and whatever else I feel like at the time, you know, covers or whatever.
Mm.
So it's a bit more open than the Zoom project was basically, like I said before, we wanted to be a power pop band. We wanted to keep it that way. Very simple, three piece, but The Disappointments has a little bit more to it.
Okay. Well, on Pack Rat Planet Radio, we love live music, and we see shows, and we talk about shows, and this is what we tell you about it. This is a segment we call Showtime. So, anyway, we're talking about the Foo Fighters at Citi Field from the past July 15th show. I was lucky enough to be able to attend that show, and of course Dave Grohl suffering from his recent onstage mishap, a broken leg, and he had a magical throne created so that he can play guitar and rock out just as much, and it was a interesting show. I mean, people really took to it, and you know, Dave Grohl was sort of the continuing to be rock fans fan and the Tom Hanks of modern rock. So it was a great show. 3 hours straight, lots of covers. I mean, you got to hear all the hits, but also snippets of Blitzkrieg Bop, Another One Bites the Dust, Van Halen's I'm the One, but full versions of Under Pressure, which I was kind of surprised, Let There Be Rock by AC/DC, and a really good version of Breakdown by Tom Petty. Is really, really good.
I only seen him one time, briefly, and that was at the Rendon Inn, right when he started that band.
The Rendon Inn.
Remember that?
Holy
the
moly.
Hangar,
yeah.
The Hangar,
yeah.
Right. And I caught it at the very end, and they did a great version of Gary Newman's Down in the Park. And I thought that was unusual. I was like, that's a killer song. I've always loved that song. I'm like, wow, they're doing that?
Wow.
That was impressive. I was like, okay, I kind of like this guy now. He wasn't a big Nirvana fan, but I that's just me.
Yeah. Well, also, you bring up Rendon Inn. I've seen some great, great shows in that hangar.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Cowboy Mouth there one time, and Fred LeBlanc climbed the ladder that goes all the way up to the
right.
top of the hangar,
mm-hmm.
and just hanging there like a madman. It was just one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. I also saw the Lords of Acid there.
Did you?
Which was, that was a crazy show, too. There's so many of those venues that I miss, and ones in New York that I miss.
Yeah, that was a good one. I liked it. I mean, it was a little echoey in that place because it was a real hangar.
Yes, it was.
So, I ended up getting involved with a guy doing sound for One Eye Jacks, the club in New Orleans, and we also had a sound system at the Rendon Inn. So I used to do sound over there, and it was really tough to do that room to make it sound good in there because it was just so loud and everything was just bouncing off the walls. But they used to get some really good bands back in the day. I mean,
yeah,
newer, upcoming, modern rock bands of the 90s all kind of played there, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Setley, can you tell me a little bit more about your involvement with the Beastie Boys' Ill Communication?
Well, that was just one of those moments where you're at the right place at the right time, realistically. I mean, after Raw Youth, I started getting into recording, being an engineer and learning the craft, basically on hands, while I was trying to make a solo record. The guy, we used to rehearse there at this place called Tin Pan Alley, which was called One East, which is closed recently, and it's on 28th Street. So I was just there as the studio engineer, and they came in to work on the record that became Ill Communication. So the only thing we did, we recorded all the instrumental stuff and Sabotage, the backing tracks and all that, and they took all the stuff, took it to LA and finished it all up.
Wow.
So we were there for a month.
So you were there when they recorded the instrumental part of Sabotage?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it was just a jam song at the time. It was crazy. I think they took it and they took it back and made a song out of it.
Wow. And then when you finally saw it and all.
Well, when I saw the video, I knew right away. I was like, "Uh-oh, this is going to be big." And it I didn't think it was going to be huge, but it turned out to be extremely huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just I just happened to be there. I mean, we all got along. Me and Yauch got along really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other guys, so Yauch was single at the time, so me and him would frequent the clubs every now and then.
Well, it's interesting that you would bring up Adam Yauch because in a week, on August the 8th, MCA Day 2015 in New York, we'll be at Littlefield in right. Brooklyn again. It's a day to celebrate the life and work of the dear departed Adam Yauch, MCA of the Beastie Boys. So I invite you guys to come out. There'll be artwork, music, special guests. And I'm actually official VJ of the day. I'll be showing Beastie Boys videos and a new video mega mashup, as we did last year. Got an all new mashup going this year, and you won't want to miss it. You never know who'll show up. In the past, DJ Hurricane and Danny Boy of House of Pain have both been here. So it's a whole lot of fun. And for more details on that, you should Google MCA Day NYC 2015, or you can go to Littlefield. NYC.com. We haven't gotten anybody answering the really hard trivia question yet, so you can still get that in on hashtag PackRatPlanet. Once again, the question is, what musician appears in both videos for Steve Winwood's Higher Love and Duran Duran's Notorious? Hint, he is one of the producers on Duran Duran's upcoming album, Paper Gods, due out very soon. Let's just say that he brings the funk. That should be a big hint. So, tweet me at Stephen Patello or hashtag PackRatPlanet. Sally, can you tell me a little bit about the Settling in the Disappointments track that you brought today?
The new one. Oh, well, this is the latest. I guess it came out last year. There's a video for it. You can see it on YouTube. What is it? What's the name of the song? I can't even remember. Part of a moment.
Part of a moment.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a good rocker. It's a sort of what I was thinking about decisions and deciding what you do when at that particular moment when you are confronted with a situation and how you react is how you react and the consequences that follow.
Okay,
so that's what it's about.
All right, let's take a listen. Settling in the Disappointments.
Part of a moment.
Part of a moment. Part of a moment.
Yes. Yes.
You say there's something under the table. Someone to look for it, to find there's nothing. Talk about your reasons with eyes on fire, proclaiming victory became a liar. Are in full view. Spin room brew headlines as they take their cues. Talk is cheap, everybody's talking. Floating bits of disinformation. Details are skewed from emotionless tools. And this is a part of a moment
Great track there from Settley and the Disappointments. So glad to be having Settley Smith himself in the studio today. Thank you
Thanks
so much,
Settley,
for coming out. I really,
yeah,
really appreciate it.
It's a good time.
Well, I understand you're going to be back down in New Orleans soon?
I will. I'm going to do a DJ night at One Eye Jack's, which is the 80s night, on September 10th, I think, which is a Thursday, I believe.
September 10th or September
11th? 10th or 11th is a night that we're going to be playing. Don't know which band. Just watch, go to the Facebook page, Settley.
Oh, okay.
Settley.
Sweet. All right. Well, look, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up. Once again, Liam McEnany back here, 5 o'clock on Sunday next time for all your comedy needs. But in the meantime, I'm Stephen Pitalo, and that's it for Pack Rat Planet Radio, the throwback pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Be sure to tune in to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com whenever you can. As we all know, it's a fantastic place to keep up with whatever is going on in Brooklyn and beyond. You can catch me at MCA Day at Littlefield in Brooklyn on the 8th. But additionally, I'll be a part of I Love the 80s and 90s at Croton Lounge on the 15th. And I'll have a special video presentation at Madonna-thon on the 22nd at Brooklyn Bowl. So don't miss that as well. You can check out all our past shows as well on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com and my full planet of projects you can check out by going to PlaqueRatPlanet.com. Good night, good luck, and be good to yourselves.